Okay. I'm going to try to stick to the message he said. He said Jalen Hurts isn't a top 10 quarterback. That sounds insane, Casey. Name. Who are the 10 quarterbacks ahead of him? Don't say Baker Mayfield. Sorry, Zabo. Don't be saying people like that. Don't be talking about Herbert.
Why wouldn't you say those guys are better quarterbacks than Jalen Hurts?
Because they're not. Jalen Hurts has been to the Super Bowl twice. People want to be like, this is all Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley just got here last year. They made it the first time without him. And the only reason they lost is because Chiefs ran out the ball and ran out the time.
So let me ask you this, Eagle fan.
Yeah.
Was
flag was fly. I'm getting pumped up. My heart's racing. I feel it, boy.
Would you say Jalen Hurts had the same type of year last year that he did the first time they went to the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. You can say he did better.
Absolutely.
He broke his own record. He had 15 rushing touchdowns. He broke his own record. So he ain't throwing it all the time.
Here's the other thing with the rushing touchdowns. Come on, man.
Breaking his own record.
Come on, man. So and they do this with Josh Allen too. Mm-hmm. Once again, like when you talk about rushing touchdowns, I know they count the same.
Hold on.
I think there's a difference between what Lamar is doing on the ground.
I knew you were going there because
what
Lamar
is doing on the ground and what Jalen Hurts is doing.
Here's Cam's top 10. And yes, there's a difference between the tush push and what Lamar Jackson does. Like, we can all talk truthfully about what's going on there.
That's it.
You got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. Any issues there?
No.
Matt Stafford, Jared Goff, Jaden Daniels.
No, he's better than Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels ain't there yet. Jaden Daniels can come out and have a CJ Stroud year.
I don't know about that.
He ain't better. We beat them to get to the Super Bowl.
That's team, though.
Yeah, that's team stuff. You guys had a great defense. The Commanders turned the ball over five times.
Real quick, 8 through 10 is CJ Stroud, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield.
No, CJ Stroud's not there yet. I like CJ Stroud. I like Daniels. They ain't there yet.
Do we need to go to their numbers? You think they got better?
We go numbers. We go to the rings. Let's go to rings.
You got
Let's
better.
Let's go to the rings.
So, okay. So, all right.
Okay.
So, we go to rings.
Yeah.
Here's the one we always talk about. Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer are better than Dan Marino.
No.
They better than Jim Kelly.
No, I get the rings thing because people do that in basketball. They're like, oh, Adams Morrison, he won with the Lakers. He ain't better than so-and-so. I get that. No, he's the quarterback. He has a lot more responsibility than that. Come on.
He does, but he doesn't have the same responsibility as these other guys, I don't believe. That doesn't make him not important, not vital, not a leader.
Bro, he didn't even throw for 3,000 yards last season.
Cam said it.
Okay, let this be Brock Purdy.
It's not Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy did throw for 3,000 yards. Brock Purdy did all that. It's not Brock Purdy.
Bro, Cam talked about it. He said Tua threw for 36 less yards than Jalen Hurts. And Tua played like 11 games.
Jesse, who would you rather have, Tua or Hurts? Come on now. Be honest. Who would you rather have, Tua
I think,
or Hurts?
I think Jalen Hurts is ranked. I would rank him ahead of Tua. That doesn't mean Jalen Hurts is top 10.
That's also not the discussion here.
He's top 10. You can't just come off a Super Bowl win talking about he's not top 10 and want to discredit everything.
Absolutely can.
No, you can't.
So Trent Dilfer, when he won the Super Bowl, instantly became a top 10 quarterback?
I think Jalen Hurts does a lot more than people are giving him credit for man. Based on everything, he's not getting the credit he deserves. It's crazy at this point.
Threw for 600 less yards than Jaden Daniels. Threw 7 less touchdowns. 4 less interceptions, though.
Jesse, pull up Jalen Hurts' overall record. He's like 49.
That's team, though. We're talking quarterbacks here.
Gosh, okay, A.J. Brown ain't been there forever. Devontae Smith ain't been there forever. Saquon Barkley ain't been there forever, okay?
So,
why are we tearing down Jalen Hurts?
We're not. And this is where Cam is talking. Like, just because he don't have him in the top 10 doesn't mean he thinks he's bad as a quarterback.
Okay.
Just because he doesn't have him in the top 10 doesn't mean he's not even capable of doing. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the team that you're on doesn't require you to be great for them to win. These other guys that are ranked ahead of him.
Yeah,
these quarterbacks need to be great for their team to win.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. I know you're a big Lamar Jackson guy. I like Lamar Jackson, too. I would say, Lamar Jackson better than Jalen Hurts. But here's
breaking
the same
news.
Thing.
Yeah,
two-time MVP better than no-time MVP.
How many times you got the Super Bowl? People acting like Lamar Jackson out here playing with scrubs. Yeah, good team, too. And if he's such a better quarterback, then why can't he take the next step? What's stopping him from taking the next step?
Who's his best receiver?
I'll be watching Ravens.
Exactly. We'll take a lap, baby. We'll take a lap, bro. We'll take a lap.
No, look, Jalen Hurts is damn good quarterback.
Yeah.
Damn good quarterback. I'll look at this top 10 list right here. And just off maybe liking him, or I might put him ahead of Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
If I had to switch it out, I might take Herbert off.
What's Herbert's playoff record? Come on.
Well, once you talk, Herbert has more on his plate. This is where the crux of the argument comes from, Lizzie, that you don't acknowledge. Okay. And others don't acknowledge. Herbert has to do more for his team to win. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts doesn't have to do as much for his team to be successful. And I'm not saying that you can, like, this is the way it goes. But if that's the case, it gives off, we can put a number of different guys back there that won't mess it up as long as that we got the talent around them.
And if we're arguing about guys 9 and 10 on that list, then Cam isn't too far off.
No.
Hurts is top 5, at least.
Hurts is top 5?
I'd say he's top 5.
That's, are you crazy? Now you're crazy.
I need to see
Cam's top 5 quarterback?
Cam didn't complete the assignment. He got to show his list.
We just read you the list.
Run it back one more time.
He had, I got to pull it back up, but he had Lamar, okay. Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes top 4.
Okay. I got you right here. You got it, Jesse? Or?
No, pull it up.
Okay, I got it. It's Allen 1, Lamar 2, Patrick Mahomes 3. Joe Burrow 4. Do we have any issue there?
Why are those guys ahead of Patrick Mahomes?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
This list.
It might be because they're better. Like, on the low, and this is a up-to-date list. This isn't a career list necessarily. Last year, those two guys had way better years than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes had a cool season last year.
Yeah, but it wasn't an MVP caliber season. Yeah, no, I can agree.
So that's why those two are above him.
Yeah.
But you got those four. Do any disagreement there?
I mean, if we're going off just
talking about
season.
Jalen Hurts.
No.
That's okay. Matthew Stafford.
We beat Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is good, but man, come on. I'm not
saying
you think
Jalen Hurts is better than Matthew Stafford?
Yeah. At this point, if we talk about last season.
At what?
Running the ball?
Brother, Matthew Stafford ain't that guy no more. Like, he's good, but he's not.
What is he better than him at?
Hey, you starting your Hey. Who would you rather have? You rather have Matthew Stafford right now or Hurts?
I'm asking you who's a better quarterback. I'm asking you who's better.
I'm asking the Dolphins. I want to. All right.
No, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Who would you rather start your franchise with right now, Jalen Hurts or Jaden McDaniels or Jaden Daniels?
I still like Hurts.
You sound crazy.
I still keep Hurts.
Everybody be calling you to make a deal. You sound crazy. You rather start a franchise right now with Jalen Hurts instead of Jaden Daniels?
I'm gonna pull the KC line. I like Daniels. But not to be disrespectful.
You sound crazy right now.
I like Daniels. I'm not going to hate on him. I'm just saying. I keep my boy Hurts.
All right. That's your opinion. I can't get mad at your opinion. I can't get mad at what you want to do. You would be a losing team. You would lose to me all the time, but that's okay.
Last time Niners and Eagles played in the playoffs, that was a different story. I don't remember who won. My bad.
Christian McCaffrey didn't do a good job at quarterback. That's why, that's our bad.
That's Purdy's guy. That's his weapon. Why can't he succeed with his weapon?
Why can't he? He said, why can't McCaffrey play quarterback?
That's what happened.
McCaffrey was playing quarterback.
That year, didn't a lot of people say Niners were the best team, overall team, not just quarterback?
Josh Manson was in that game.
Oh, man, this is wild.
Lizzie was a running back playing quarterback.
No, I didn't say, when did I say that? I'm saying that's.
You said, why couldn't McCaffrey get it done?
No, I said quarterback. I never said that. Quarterback, no, brother. I'm saying I'm saying the Niners had a great team. People said they were one of the best teams. They didn't succeed. That goes on everybody. What are we talking about? Chat, help. What are we talking about
it's
now?
It's getting hot in the room.
It's getting real hot.
It's hot for Lizzie right now.
Man. Let the Niners win. And then we'll talk about this. Why are you ignoring the fact
that the 49ers played the second half with a running back playing quarterback?
Hey.
What do you mean? They had to step up. What? they didn't have a quarterback.
Why couldn't journeyman Josh Johnson get it done?
Hey. I don't know. Tell you, we didn't have a problem, so I don't know, man.
And mind you, look, Brock Purdy's not on this. I think Brock Purdy's top 10. I do think Brock Purdy's a top 10 quarterback.
Oh, man. I can't believe it.
But he's not on this list. He's not on this list.
Man, let Purdy win the Super Bowl, and then people say he's not top 10 the next year. It would be a riot, bro.
Look,
we have a 3-day show on that.
Look, Leezy, I also wouldn't care. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care where you, Cam Newton, Bill Barnwell, Ryan Clark, rank Brock Purdy.
Okay.
I don't care. What I do care about is that the 49ers win games and win Super Bowls.
That's, I'm insane.
And if they can do that, you guys can, you can rank them wherever you want. Because wherever you rank them, that is not going to get me as a 49ers fan where I want them to go.
Okay. All right.
Would you be happy? Let me ask you this. Would you be happy if Jalen Hurts was ranked top three on Cam's list and they missed the playoffs this year? Would that make you happy?
I think, well, I'll say this. I think he deserves the respect. Yeah, I would like him to be top three. I think it should reflect.
So did you hear what I said, though?
But would I care?
Would you?
I don't listen to Cam Newton. I don't care what he says.
Would you be happy if everybody that has a ranking put Jalen Hurts as a top three quarterback, but they missed the playoffs this year? Would you be happy?
Nah, I wouldn't be happy. Because that's the goal. At the end of the day, you want to win. Yeah.
So exactly. So let me ask you this. If nobody ranked Jalen Hurts in the top 10 and they won another Super Bowl, would you be happy?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Because people – no, I agree with you. Because people have been disrespecting Jalen Hurts for years. When they drafted Jalen Hurts, they're like, you got Carson Wentz. Why are you getting Hurts? Where's Carson Wentz at? So I don't care. Hey, my first quarterback, Nick Foles, won.
Who are you wrong with right now?
What? You sticking up for your Carson Wentz?
Who brought up Carson Wentz?
It's the meme. No one was talking about you.
I think I figured out who works Sleazy up the most in all the sports. Jalen Hurts perceived disrespect.
Any Eagles disrespect. You should have seen me when people are hating on Nick Foles. I was like, hey, I understand. But he beat Tom Brady. Okay, Tom Brady wasn't hurt. Don't get me going about some Eagles, man. It ain't HAL no more.
Leezy got so worked up. He started a Carson Wentz versus Jalen Hurts argument.
I'm starting. We got new topics. Put this at the top of the rundown.
This is fantastic, Leezy. This is great stuff.
Sorry.
I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback. If I really wanted to put him in there, I might put him in there ahead of Justin Herbert. I'm not a big Baker fan. I'm not a big Baker Mayfield fan at all. Yeah. But I can't deny the year he had last year. Yeah. He was balling.
Teams. Three teams. He figured it out.
That's fine. But we're talking about right now. Okay. He's here and he played well. You're talking to somebody. I don't like Baker Mayfield, but he played really well last year.
Yeah,
he was doing his thing. So he deserves, at least in some rankings, to be considered a top 10 quarterback with his production, what he was able to do last year. And he also had a good year the year before as well.
4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns.
Come on. Would you say 41?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He's got that great team. He's got that great team around him. All those guys helping him out, man. Where would he be without all those guys? Amazing. He's a real game manager. Good job, baby.
Hey, Jesse, what are we doing? Are we going to go here or are we going to
go? Yeah, we're going to go to break. We'll go to break.
All right, man. We'll be back, man. Leezy going to stay rocking with me. We got Monta Hill coming up in about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk about 49ers training camp and a little Jonathan Kuminga as well. I want to hear from you. We got like 15 minutes in the week for calls. I want to hear from y'all, man. What y'all think about Jalen Hurts? What you think about Cam Newton? What you think about top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320. It's ESPN 1320. It's D-Lo and KC, Sacramento's number one sports station. Oh, man.
Hey.
What a way to close out the week, man. That boy Leezy producing. Boy, that boy coming through, man. D-Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. Leezy rocking with me here for the rest of this Friday afternoon. My boy Bonte Hill pulling up on us, man. We're going to talk a little 49ers training camp. I know he's out there heavy. We'll talk about that. Talk about Jonathan Kuminga, and really, to give that side of things, one of the things that happened when all of this came out, in my opinion, was a lot of people were like, would say, hey, this is what we're hearing. This is a deal and all this other stuff. And people would be like, oh, man, y'all, that's wrong. You're getting bad information, da-da-da-da. And I was always like, nah, I don't think they're getting bad information. I think you're getting one side of the story and you're talking to one particular group and you're talking to another group that gives you their perspective, that POV of how a conversation went down or what they're willing to do. And I think that's all it was. Like, you hear guys like Bonte Hill, Anthony Slater, all that other stuff. They're locked in with the Warriors.
Yep.
And when they talk to the people within the Warriors who tell them, you know, maybe what's going on and what's up with that situation, they're getting that Warrior POV.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to the Matt George. You talk to D'Lo. You talk to James Hamm. They're not talking to the Warriors, so they're not going to be in tune with how they see things.
Yeah.
But they are talking to the Kings and Kings people and talking to them about how they perceive conversations are going and, you know, what they're willing to offer and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. You know, that's all it is. It's not – I don't think it's necessarily – I personally – haven't seen necessarily where one side is better than the other or more informed than the other or anything like that. One thing that I'll say is I ain't talked to as many people as any of those guys have,
yeah.
But I'm intelligent and not that they aren't. I'm just saying I'm kind of looking at how things go.
You tapped in, you seen the whole picture.
Yeah. I kind of look at how those things go and I talk to my type of people and I'm like, all right, I think Scott Perry, in this situation, looked at the landscape of the NBA, looked at what potentially could be called for. Hold on one second. I can't
see. I can't tell who that
is. I can't see. I don't even know who that is. Yeah, I don't know. I can't
see. It could be anybody. It could be Dusty. Somebody, it could be Chris. Who, whoever, it could be anybody.
I can't see. There's like a glare on the window, and it's just a shadowy figure.
Oh, this is Pearl Jam, there it is. John. Yeah, this is one of Abe's people.
Okay. Here, go make sure he gets where he gets real quick. Real quick. Make sure he knows what's going on.
Yeah. I'll tell him around there.
Okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, it was just a shadowy figure. I couldn't see what was going on over there. I didn't know who that was. But, yeah, like, that's all it is. You know, I think Scott Perry looked at the lay of the land, knew what was going on, had talked to other agents, maybe had talked to other teams and knew what the market would be for Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
And said, I think this is what the market is, and this is the offer that we're going to get for him. Because mm-hmm. I think all things considered, it's a competitive offer. Now, Warriors media, Warriors fans, and maybe the Golden State Warriors themselves maybe hadn't done their homework on what the market was for Jonathan Kuminga and what the market was around the league.
Yeah.
And they heard that deal and was like, nah, that's crazy. What? No, we talking Jonathan Kuminga. Ain't no way in hell I'm giving you that for Jonathan Kuminga. He is worth way more than that.
Yeah, the guy who they don't want to play. Yeah.
And Scott Perry was probably sitting back like, no, he's not worth more than that this right now in this climate. That is about what you're going to get. And once again, Warriors media and the Warriors themselves, Joe Lacob, like, oh, you're crazy. We'll go find a better deal.
Show me.
And here we are about a month later, and it's the same deal.
Ain't happened yet.
Nobody else has stepped up and said, this is what we're going to offer that's better for Jonathan Kuminga. Honestly, and I don't necessarily know what the financials are for other teams like that, but if I was
Miami,
yeah, Miami. But let's go outside. If I was, I'm just trying to think of a random. If I was Chicago,
okay.
If I was Chicago, I'd be like, that's the price for Jonathan Kuminga right now. Yeah, let me see if I could beat that. Because that price is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to give up a whole hell of a lot. Let me see if I could beat that. I would go and try to match that offer. You know what I mean? But nobody's done that.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we are a mm-hmm. month later, and nobody's done that. So that's just kind of the way I look at it. And talking to Bonte, you know, you get a better understanding of, you know, some of the things that he's hearing, because we all know Bonte tapped in.
Oh, yeah. He's
like, he's talking to a lot of different people that are close to the situation
mm-hmm.
and hearing what he says about the situation. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for. And then obviously he's at 49er training camp. Obviously the Giants have a big 3-game series this weekend at Oracle Park against the New York Mets. The Mets have found their way back into the lead of the NL East.
Here we go.
And now the Giants aren't even chasing them no more. They're chasing the Phillies.
Right, don't even worry, bro. We got you, all right? We got the Dodgers this weekend. We're going to take down sorry-ass Ohtani. Don't even think he's ever been that
good. Is he pitching?
No, he's not pitching this week. We got Kershaw on Sunday.
Oh, if you don't light him up.
Yeah. We got Bayo today, Crochet on Sunday, so I'm hoping they get 2 out of 3 at least. Help you guys out. I've never been like this big Dodger Ohtani fan or anything like that, go. So.
I'd appreciate that. I remember earlier in the season, remember we took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees in New York. I like the favorite return.
Everyone takes 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. We've done that like that was, 2 different times.
That was disrespectful.
I think, yeah, we've got 4 out of 5 against the Yankees this year, I think.
That was disrespectful. I also want you to make sure that you ignore the fact that we got swept by the Blue Jays just a week ago and we didn't help you out. Ignore that.
To be honest, it's fine. I don't really worry about the Blue Jays.
Nobody's worried about the Blue Jays.
They're leading the division.
I know. It's just being a Red Sox fan. It's just, I don't know.
They cooking right now.
But we're not going to catch I'm not worried about the division right now. We got to get back to the playoffs. Either way, though, we're going to help you guys out.
I appreciate it.
We got you guys.
Thank you. I'm going to need that. Because everybody kind of been beating up on the Dodgers lately. I need you guys to make sure they stay down. Stay down. But Giants, they got their own problems they got to take care of. Now, at the beginning of the week, Jesse put it in the rundown. We were going to talk about it. We were just going to talk about, they just got swept in Toronto. They've lost, what would that be, 5 of 6?
Something like that.
Hey, they might need to be sellers. Couple days later, a Rafael Devers moving to first base later.
He's hitting the baseball all of a sudden. You move him to first base, give him his first base glove, and all of a sudden he's hitting tanks.
That's it. I think he's like 4 of 6 or 3 of 5 or something like that with 2 home runs. Let him cook. All of a sudden, Giants are 1 game back in the wild card, and they're 5 games back in the National League West. And depending on what they can do this weekend, that could get even closer if, like my man Jesse says, Boston helps out a little bit.
I think if you got a guy like Devers heating up and he's like back to himself, I think if you're the Giants, you go for it. You're buyers and you're trying to make the playoffs, and you still go for the division because, let's be real, like 5 games isn't some absurd amount or anything like that. If you still, I guess, can see a vision forward and like the future and all that, and it's just not going to just, I guess, handicap you, then yeah, mm-hmm. I think like, yeah, they should go for it.
I agree. You also
contrary to what we were saying on Monday.
You also that's hilarious. Hey, now can we get this real quick? Because I don't even know if they want to be on camera, but that is funny. There's a kid standing in the window.
I didn't even realize that right now. Yeah, low key, yeah.
It's like they're staring at like one of those fish tanks. People just watching us.
She was like, her nose was on the window staring at Jesse doing his thing. That was, the little kid has to be four or five years old.
Big Friday vibes right now, man.
Oh, man. You set it off.
I did.
You set it off.
I'm still coming down from that, by the way. That's about my quarterback. That's my quarterback. Like T.O. I'm still coming down from that.
But Jesse, to your point, man, go get that. And with the Giants, I really believe when you've got guys like Logan Webb and you've got Robbie Ray, get into the postseason.
Well, that's the thing too. Like Buster Posey, with him leading it, they're not. It's not like how it was with Farhan or whatever. It's like they won 106 or whatever that 1 year. And I feel like you and everyone was like, oh, yeah, I don't know how sustainable that's going to be. I feel like Buster Posey's building something. It's like the Giants are going to be around for a little while. So I feel like they have an opportunity now to actually like do something.
Yeah. Lazy.
Oh, whoops. My bad.
Sorry. You know you can't do that.
Okay. Here, we'll do a full transparency. So I went to put Michigan Wolverines in a timeout and he got banned. So now,
please, you can't do that. We have to go find him now.
I know,
damn near impossible.
Look at,
you'll find him. I know. I was trying to do a timeout. It's different setup. I'm
D-Lo,
sorry.
D-Lo gonna get your ass.
Yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead and check it next time.
Any final words on the air? Because when D-Lo come back, hey, that might be it.
Wait, here's the thing. Let me explain, guys. Let me get my Cam Newton on. Let me explain to everybody. We've all been banned. I've been banned once. Deuce was banned once. People get banned in
don't
here.
Nobody needs to be banned.
I didn't want to ban
That's
them.
Part of the regular fabric of this show.
Michigan, I apologize. I meant to put you in time.
Yeah, you got to take a laugh for that one, brother. You got to take a laugh for that one.
But back to the Giants real quick. Yeah, I agree with you. Buster Posey, he's trying to build something that's sustainable. He's trying to build something that can compete with the Dodgers, can compete with the Padres. And he's not looking at this as, oh, you know, we're going to be safe and, you know, we got to
make sure the Vazorp was right there. And, you know, we're only getting players with Vazorp. So let's get Mitch Haniger, who doesn't have a job anywhere now. But his Vazorp is really, I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We're getting baseball players. And if we got an opportunity to win, if we got an opportunity to get into the playoffs and have two guys like Logan Webb and Robbie Ray go pitch 4 games in a 5-game series,
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going
to
do.
Where it needs to be, too. You brought it up kind of right there. Like, you're bringing in baseball players finally. Baseball has kind of gotten away to what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Buster Posey's kind of trying to do that back again with the Giants. Obviously, analytics is a big part of it and stuff like that now. Like, you can't really avoid that anymore. But yeah, the game isn't a binder.
But the game, I think the game as a whole is starting to get back for that.
I hope so.
I think it's starting to get back to that. It went a little too far left with the numbers. And when you talk about the numbers, it's not to ignore the numbers. That helps you with data. But that should only be a tool. That shouldn't be the end-all, be-all, which was for a guy like Farhan. It was like, I'm only going by the numbers. I don't know how to look at this from a baseball player perspective or the things that you can't measure. I'm not looking at
it that
way.
Like, both things to be true. Like, Grady Little needed analytics probably when he let Pedro pitch too much in 2003.
I can't believe he left him out there. Can't believe he just left him out there like that. The guy had already given up 3 runs, and he had already...
Pedro looking at him like, I'm ready.
Pedro, what was that, the 7th inning or 8th inning that happened?
I think it was like the 8th, or they sent him back out for the 8th or something like that, yeah.
At the end of the 7th, Pedro said what's up to his people. He said, that was his thing, I'm done. And then Grady said, no, you're not. Get back out there. Oh, man. At least they were able to rebound from that, talking about the Boston Red Sox. But I had this thing that I was going to talk about all week long, and I don't think I'm going to get to it. But baseball cooking right now.
That's facts. I've been wanting to talk about this all week, too. Yeah. There hasn't been a moment, a day this season, where I haven't had a game up at one point.
Baseball is cooking. Major League Baseball as a whole is just doing a phenomenal job. And I know there's the elephant in the room, which is the way Rob Manfred is handling the A's situation, which is egregious. But when you talk about the game, when you talk about the coverage of the game, when you talk about the way it's played, I mean, I wasn't here for it. I thought the All-Star game was fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was great. I looked at that home run derby situation at the end. I said, yo, this is really cool. I wouldn't want a real game decided that way.
No.
I wouldn't want that to be how you go about things. But in the All-Star game, hell yeah, that was dope.
One thing that kind of told me baseball is back too low-key is that the Tigers had a Sunday night game. I think it was against the Guardians or the Twins. I think it was Tariq Skubal was pitching.
The Rangers. I was watching that on the plane. Yeah.
And I saw the numbers after that. I was like, oh, yeah, Sunday night baseball did their biggest numbers in however many years or since whatever. It's kind of like, you look at it, it's like, that was just Tigers, Rangers, like you said, or Tigers versus whoever. It's like, those aren't like big-name teams or anything like that where people are tapping in.
Yeah, no, they're cooking. You talk about attendance. I don't know where it's at right now, but I remember – at around May, attendance was up a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, the attendance was booming at that point. So, like I said, you talk about the game, the way the game's being played. It's getting back to a little bit more of just the game and not the numbers. It's getting back to that. The coverage of the game. MLB Network, I think that's the best sports channel. Like league channel there is. MLB Network is amazing.
Yeah,
it is number one. They do such a good job with how they go about covering the league and giving different types of angles to covering teams and players and things of that nature.
Yeah, and I was gonna say like you said, the where the game is at is good. Like, people can say whatever about the A's, but the actual experience and going to the games is great. It's something I'm taking advantage of. I've been to like about 4 or 5 games now. Mm-hmm. They've all been great. And I think we were at the opener. That was cool. I was at the Yankees game. That was dope. Got you some good gear there. Mm-hmm. And overall, the experience is fun. I've been enjoying it at least.
Yeah, man. Major League Baseball. The one thing that I do not want any part of. There's one thing about baseball that I'm cool off of.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to mess with it in the All-Star game. I don't want nothing to do with that umpire challenge, bro. Don't bring that in here.
What do you mean umpire challenge?
You see they did that in the game? They
No, I might have missed that though.
Balls and strikes.
Oh, the ABS system they're talking about?
Yeah. No, I'm cool off that.
Yeah, I don't know if I love that either.
I'm cool off that. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't want the robot umpires. You guys know I don't want the robot umpires. I don't want that, but I don't want you to be able to challenge balls and strikes.
There's no right strike zone. Like, there's no right way to.
Yeah, not everybody's the same height.
Not everyone's got the same strike zone. Yeah, and I feel like there's no I don't know. There's no right way to differentiate just for the little guy, for Altuve or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no right way to do it.
Isn't that going
to
make the game longer, too? Aren't they trying to shorten down the games? You could bring in all this challenge and it's going to extend to it.
Like, I don't think it'll affect, like, the time that much. Because they did it in the All-Star game. I saw it executed a couple times. Mm-hmm. And it was real quick. The batter or the catcher taps their helmet real quick. Umpire says, hey, we're going to the system to check and see. It might have been like 45 seconds or something like that. So
balls and strikes, that is arguable. Like, if it's on a corner of the plate or however off the, like, whatever, barely touching the plate or whatever, like, that's at the umpire's discretion. Right. I don't know necessarily that a computer, like, I guess, fine, if you have, like, the computer has a set designated strikes on whatever, but I don't know. Like, I think it's better the other way.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a point where, like, the game is what the game is, and you can't always fix it.
I'm also, and I may be alone in this, I appreciate the human element of sports. That's why I don't want robots. I get a certain amount of challenges, but not a bunch. Like, sometimes you're going to get things wrong. And I know money's on the line. People's jobs are on the line, all this other stuff. I know that kind of stuff happens. I get it. But
it's an element of the game you don't want to take out.
Yeah, I agree. Can you get Bonte another another link? He's trying to get on right now. Hold on one second. But I like the human element of the game, you know. I don't want that to change.
No.
I don't want that to go away. And I know you can challenge some stuff and all that other stuff, but the balls and strikes thing, I didn't like that. I do love, and I know some people have been critical of it, I do love the extra innings rule that's been here for a few years now. I think that's fantastic. The ghost runner on second starting in the 10th inning. I love when they didn't have it too, though. I may be the wrong person to ask, because when you just played a regular game like they do in the playoffs and it might go 16, 17 inning games, I'm cool with that too.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that too. So I'm baseball cooking right now. Baseball is definitely
baseball's cooking. Back.
Yeah.
It's in a good place.
Yeah. Let me see. Let Bonte know.
Yeah, we got that link back to him. StreamYard, I don't know why you're doing me dirty today.
Yeah, man. There you go. Hey, there he is, man. NBC Sports Bay Area. The young goat, Bonte Hill, man. What's up, baby? What's up, man?
KC, man. Happy belated, man. My new guy. What's the new guy?
Oh, that was.
Seen him on the show.
No, that was my man, Leezy. Leezy be tapped in. That's the rook.
He just be walking in the studio doing a show.
Well, that's the rook. That's the rook right there. He's the Spadoni. You know what I mean? He's the Spadoni. Yeah. The rook.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. You know, you're a busy dude, so I'm glad you were able to squeeze this in. So many things I want to talk to you about before we tap out of here. Real quick, I was just going on this diatribe of how I know a lot of people, especially like in recent memory, like really critical of Major League Baseball and, oh, baseball's boring, all this other stuff. You're like myself. You're a big baseball fan, been a baseball fan your whole life. Maybe we're a little biased, but outside the way Manfred's handling the A's, like that's a black eye on everything. Outside of that, I think Major League Baseball is cooking right now. I think it's phenomenal. The league is doing damn near all the right things. The coverage, the MLB Network, I think Major League Baseball is fantastic right now.
KC, you know, I think the last few years has been fantastic.
I agree.
Because we had this influx of young talent coming in. Mm-hmm. Ronald Acuna Jr., Albies down in Atlanta. You got O'Neill Cruz Jr. out there in Pittsburgh. You got the Cubs. All of a sudden, they're relevant again. The Milwaukee Brewers with Jackson Chirino, the rookie last year, who's now following up what he did last year as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's popping, bro.
It is.
The only thing I had a problem with was the end of the All-Star game. I didn't like the Derby. Call me
an old man
if you want to. I wanted one more inning. I'm old school there.
Yeah.
Like, why are all these guys leaving? Why are you leaving?
Yeah.
We don't got enough players. We're all leaving. I wanted another inning because I thought it could have been one of the best All-Star games we've seen in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
But with that said, it was really good theater for 9 innings. The Derby, whatever. I'll grow into it. Now I like it. But the ghost runner during the regular season, the games are moving faster. Mm-hmm. These guys are balling, man. I look at the division with the NL West with the Padres, the Dodgers, or the Giants. Mm-hmm. We may have a classic pennant race here in the month of August to September. You got a classic race brewing in the Central. The NL East got Philly and the Mets battling each other. This is great baseball. Then you go to the American League. The Blue Jays, dude, they got Bichette. Vlad Jr., they got dudes. Yeah. Boston's now making noise again after the Devers trade. I'm with you, Casey. But like I'm excited right now because we got football coming back. Mm-hmm. The NBA offseason's kind of wearing down. But baseball, man, they're gonna have me locked in until November, dog. Baseball's popping, man. You're right about that.
For real. They're doing, and I think the way there's this perception or this narrative that baseball is so old school and all this other stuff. You know, one of the things I always say, and I loved what he was able to do for our beloved San Francisco Giants, the all-time moment of Game 7, 2014, and what Madison Bumgarner used to do. But I used to hate, even though, like, outside of Giants, Dodgers, you know, you know how that is. I used to hate the way he behaved with Yasiel Puig. I hated that policing of the game and, you know, just run down to first base. Let's stop all that, bro. Nah. And they're getting that out of the game. Like, the celebrations that we would see normally in the postseason, now everybody, there's like an understanding of, like, yeah, if you want to do that in May, cool. I'm not going to throw it with the next batter or nothing. Like, they're incorporating that into the game, and I think that makes it for a more intense, more enjoyable game, man. And they doing damn near outside of the A's. They're doing damn near everything right now.
Dude, think about it, Casey. You're playing 162 games, and things become redundant, right? And it's the reason why Bumgarner never got a job after getting cut by the Arizona Diamondbacks, because it wasn't just Puig he was throwing at and telling people. Remember Carlos Gomez, who could be a hothead, he fouled one off and got mad at himself. And Bumgarner's telling him, get your ass in the box. Come you on. Don't want to mess with Carlos Gomez. I'm like, Bum, dude, chill. Just throw a strike, dog. Like, so he was doing that with a few guys that I had a problem with. Mac, that's why Mike Smuncy was like, yo, I just hit your stuff to the water.
That was cold, too.
Go fish that ball out of McCovey Cove, dude. Cold. So he needed to be checked. And that needed to be out of the game.
Yeah.
And seriously, because I like when Ramos, he's bat flipping walks right now. Like, whatever. Do your thing.
He really does.
I don't care. I walk sideways. But I saw Marcelo Zuna. He's not the best guy in the world. I get all that.
Yeah.
But I saw that dude during a playoff game walk down the first baseline after hitting a home run and stopped in the middle of the first baseline and took an imaginary selfie. I said, you know what? I get down with that. Ronald Cunha Jr., the way they're running to third base, and he's doing a little dive, and he's doing all this stuff. Give me all that, man. I want it all. Tatis Jr., it's made baseball more enjoyable. It's made it more relatable to kids. I think a lot more kids are playing of all different colors, all different shapes and ages. So, yeah, baseball's having a hell of a season, man. I'm locked in. I'm like this Mets Giants series.
Big time.
I mean, man, I don't know when the last time I've been excited for a late July Giants series, man.
Yeah, man.
Farhan's gone. Posey's got these guys going. They didn't beat the Braves in two straight. Verlander got a win. Devers is hitting balls.
Devers is back, right baby. Field. Devers is back.
Man, Willie Adames is back. Chapman's hit, man. Injected into my veins, Casey. Yeah, that's why I always love you, man. Because you're a three-sport star, though. You got to be a three-sport star, man.
100%. 100%. Man, we got my boy Monte Hill, man. NBC Sports Bay Area. He's down at Niners training camp. I'm going to try and get to Niners training camp, but I can't have you on here without talking about what's going on with Jonathan Kuminga, the Warriors, and the Kings. Now, here's what I said a bit earlier, Bonte, because when all this kind of dropped about three, 4 weeks ago, there was a lot of talk of, oh, man, you're getting bad information. You're getting bad information. And I looked at it like this. I looked at guys like D'Lo and Matt George, and they're talking to people in Sacramento, and that is the Sacramento POV of any discussions that may be had. You, Anthony Slater, you talking to people in the Bay Area and Golden State, and that's the Golden State POV of the conversation that was had. It wasn't that anybody had wrong information. It might have just been, hey, the people I'm talking to perceived the conversation this way, and the people I'm talking to perceived it this way. And that's how I always looked at it, and that's why I want to talk to you, because we have an idea of how it's being talked about on this side, but what is that Warriors point of view or that Kuminga point of view of the situation over there?
Well, it's funny you brought up Matt George. I ran into him on the first day of training camp. Matt George is my guy, man. We all – people see Twitter and going at it. Like, all you guys are my dudes. I'm not beefing with sports right now. Like, come on, man. We work in sports, dude. I got out the hood for a reason, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not about – but the information – but, you know, even Warrior fans are coming at me because there's this whole thing about Jonathan Kuminga saying no to $30 million per year, right? And I was told in October, like, that wasn't the case. They didn't even get close to numbers. Mm-hmm. I think Anthony Slater may have confirmed that at some point over the last couple of weeks. So when I sit, so this thing is still going around. I want to start from there, Casey, because, oh, he said no to $150 million. He played himself. First of all, let's make it make sense. You're a role player, right? And which the Warriors have basically made him a role player. They haven't given him starter minutes like that. He's averaged, what, 20, 25 minutes over the course of his career. He'll pick up a DMP. We saw it this past year. He was playing his best basketball. He gets hurt. Jimmy Butler comes. He's out of the rotation. Then all of a sudden, he resurfaces in the second round. It's like, oh, damn, he could ball. Mm-hmm. Well, some of us knew he could ball. Mm-hmm. Like, when you lock him in as an all-ball defender, he could defend. When you tell him, hey, Kimmy, I need you to do this, he's walking into 18 points a game. Mm-hmm. Now, does that translate into winning at times? Who's around him when he's scoring those 18 points? Right. I think that's also important because he doesn't get the opportunity to play with Steph like that and right. Draymond like that. Right. If he played with Steph and ran that two-man game, which Steph Curry talked about this past season, saying, yeah, man, we got something there with the two-man game because of the gravity Steph Curry creates where Jonathan Kuminga set the screen and diving downhill, he's either going to dunk on your head or get to the free throw line, mm-hmm. which the Warriors had trouble doing in the first place. So this whole notion that he passed up $150 million, if you're a role player getting that many minutes, 20 minutes a game, knowing that your starting spot is not solidified, mm-hmm. knowing that I may be the eighth man today, I may be the 10th man, I may not even play. Jonathan Kuminga ain't no dummy, mm-hmm. all right? I know his people, I know his camp. They ain't saying no to $30 million per year. You sign that contract saying, I'm not even a starter, dog. I'm getting $150. Mm-hmm. That's how he's going to play it. So this whole notion that he passed up money in the first place was this big myth. Now we get to what's happening right now. And Jonathan Kuminga, which I try to tell Warrior fans, he's got a lot more leverage than y'all think mm-hmm. because Warrior fans are in their feelings right now. And trust me, I love Dub Nation. Oh, man, you need to pick a side, Kuminga. You need to do this and do – No. He's going to play this out because – he wants to know that I'm going to get an opportunity to start and prove myself to be a star in this league, which I can't be mad at. Whether or not you think he's going to be a star is one thing, but I'm all for a player betting on themselves saying, I want to be the best that I could be. I grew up watching Kobe. I grew up watching these guys. I want to be a damn all-star. I want to go ball out. So I can't be mad at that. So right now the Warriors are stuck in this position where I don't think they could bring him back into the locker room knowing that, well, we don't know what role you're going to have. And I've always said this, Casey, you know, in our text, if you bring Kuminga back and he accepts the qualifying offer with this notion that, hey, they're going to do right by him and they'll trade him in February. What? They're going to give him a contract knowing he's going to be traded in February? How do you think that's going to work out? That's where people don't have that human element, that experience of being on a sports team or being in a locker room saying, you got Kuminga walking around here knowing he's going to get traded in February. Then everybody's going to be hyper-focused on every single move he makes. Right. Oh, what if he doesn't dap up Steph Curry? Oh, he disrespected the coach. Oh, what if he doesn't look at Steve Kerr? Oh, he don't even look like Steve Kerr. He's disrespecting the coach. We don't need those problems. Mm-hmm. The Warriors don't need those problems. And that's a cloud that can hover over this organization for the next season. So right now, I don't know what they do with the Kuminga situation. I said it a month ago on the Morning Roast. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I was sure after the season that I said there was a 90% chance that I think he's not coming back to the Golden State Warriors because I know he thinks that I may not get the opportunity that I want in Golden State. Right. So maybe it is Sacramento. Maybe it is Phoenix. But I don't see it happening in Golden State after four seasons.
I agree with you. And I think the Warriors have misplayed this Kuminga situation for a couple of years now. And now they're at the point where – and this is what I've talked to you about this – and it's no shade. The Warriors are a championship organization, but they're not 100% perfect. And I think they misplayed what they thought Kuminga's market would be. And when Scott Perry, reportedly came to them and said, this is what we'll offer you. They like, are you crazy? We're talking Jonathan Kuminga. We're Nassarik and Carter. Like, goodbye. Goodbye. We can get a lot better than that.
I laughed at it. I laughed at it. I was like, come on, man. Yeah. Lakers not accepted that.
Right.
And loves Jonathan Kuminga.
And he was like, we'll go find a better deal. And here we are a month later. And essentially Scott Perry's like, I did my homework. There isn't a better deal out there. Do you want to take this or do you want to bring him back? And now they're forced with a situation where I don't think there's necessarily any good situation for the Warriors. Because I'm with you. I wouldn't bring them back into that locker room. But it's also a tough call to take Saric and Devin Carter for Kuminga. So you're going to – I think if you're the Warriors, you got to choose, the best of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. But – They still have their option of bringing them back and trying to make it work that way.
I would bring them back, KC, because you look at the Western Conference. They're getting younger, more athletic, and they're getting bigger. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors right now, they were already one of the least athletic teams in the NBA. Let's face it. And they're playing small. You can't do that in the West right now with the OKC, Denver, Houston, Minnesota, San Antonio, Dallas. I mean, this is the Clippers are getting big. Like, come on, man. It's a new league right now. Mm. And Kuminga showed you after getting all those DNPs, like, which is just mind-boggling to me how people can sit up here and say, oh, he's a bum, he's a scrub, he can't play winning basketball. When Steph Curry goes down and you had to, hey, JK, we need you. Mm. And he does what he does against Minnesota. I know they didn't win a game, but it wasn't his fault. Right. He did what he had to do without even playing. And all of a sudden, oh, he can't play with Jimmy Butler. And then all of a sudden you see Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga making sweet music together out there balling against the T-Wolves. Mm. I'm not a fan of getting rid of talent like that. Mm-hmm. I would keep him. I understand the locker room dynamics. I personally am a big fan of Jonathan Kuminga from the day one when I met you up at the California Classic to go see Jonathan Kuminga in his first ever game.
He's there.
And he tried to dunk on eight dudes. He may have missed five of those dunks. And I said, you know what? This guy got some – he don't care.
Yeah.
And I run into Tim Roy, the radio voice of the Golden State Warriors, who sticks with me to this day. You know, Bonte, I think this guy could be like Ron Artest in the league. And I said, well, sign me up then. I'll take Ron Artest all day. So I'm not a fan of getting rid of talent.
Yeah.
I would keep him back and try to work this out as much as possible instead of settling on pennies on a dollar here. So, the Warriors. And I think another thing, too, is important, KC. We all underestimated the CBA, the new CBA.
Oh, yeah,
because last year when you guys re-signed, I thought Malik Monk, I swear to God, I was talking to Matt George about this. I thought Malik Monk was going to get $25 to $30 million a year. I really did. And when he came back for what was it, 16, 17 a year?
Yeah.
Maybe 18?
Is that 18?
I said, oh my gosh, the new CBA is no joke.
Yeah.
People were afraid of that first and second apron and getting those picks frozen. So now all of a sudden, the money's drying up. And if you're a restricted free agent, you're in no man's land. Look at Josh Giddey. Look at Cam Thomas. Look at Jonathan Kuminga now. So it's not a pretty situation, but the Warriors aren't panicking yet. And I don't think they'll panic yet. They got a long way to go until training camp. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to play this out for as long as possible while Jim Kuminga gets his work in, wherever he's at, Miami, New York, wherever he's getting his work in. So it's an unfortunate situation that the Warriors are the one team, Casey, that haven't made one move yet.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, look, clip this. You won't hear this often. Draymond was right. Draymond was spot on. He said it when the CBA happened. He said, no, this is bad. Like, this is not going to work out. And he was right. Draymond was dead on about this.
The CBA is a mother, you know what, man. It has changed the league. And Oklahoma City stockpiling those picks, having 14 first-round picks in the next 7 years, four picks in next year's draft, they're set up better than anybody to run a dynasty right now. They locked up their core. They got all these picks, all those interchangeable parts. Isaiah Joe, Wiggins, Jalen Williams from Arkansas. They can move those dudes out because they got 14 first-round picks in the next 7 years.
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Crazy.
Bonte, before we get out of here, I got about 2 or 3 minutes. You're at 49ers training camp.
Yep.
And I'm going to talk to you again. We're going to talk to you again before the season starts. But I've heard you say it, and I'm in lockstep with you. I think these Niners are kind of flying under the radar.
Man.
And I think the Niners are going to win the NFC West. I'm saying it right here today. What you seeing from the group so far, man? No pads yet. No pads. But
no
what
pads
you
yet, so I don't want to go crazy. Yeah. I'm not going to go crazy and do the total Trey Lance thing. Like, oh, my God, he looks like
we played that the other day. We played that because I was on the same tip. I was on the same tip. I was saying the same damn thing.
Listen to 49ers KC, Greg Popper went on the show that Monday, said it's the best throwing experience I've ever seen, or the best throwing exhibition I've ever seen at NFL practice.
Man, we all right there.
A lot of people are ducking the smoke now. I'll die on that story. He should have started week one anyway. Christian McCaffrey, if he's healthy, that's the key. 18 touchdowns inside the red zone in 2023 to over 2,000 scrimmage yards. CMC looks like CMC right now. But again, no shoulder pads right now. So I'm going to reserve judgment on the guys that I don't know about, the C.J. West, the Michael Williams, the Alfred Collins. Those some big boys, KC. They hitting that sled pretty hard, man. I'm like, ooh, if they could be space shooters. C.J. West, if he could be D.J. Jones. Yeah. If Michael Williams could give us a little bit of Buckner and Armstead playing inside and outside. And Nick Bosa, you got to turn the ball over. You got to get those strip sacks. You got to make game-changing plays this year for the 49ers. They're flying under the radar. And one thing is important, KC. Kyle Shanahan has an underdog. He loves being an underdog. I saw him run a trick play today. They was running trick plays.
He's in his bag.
And I said, you know what? Juwan Jennings looks crisp.
Yeah.
Pearsall showed us some flashes late down the stretch. BA's out there participating. He's going to be back in late October, early November. I think the Niners, if they could weather the storm early in the season where I think 6 of their first 9 games are on the road, they come out of that maybe 5-4, 6-3. Shanahan looks refreshed, bro.
Well,
he looks refreshed.
Well, you even look at that, and I usually don't like to play this game because you just never know. But you look at that and the schedule. We talking about the Saints. We talking about the Seahawks. We talking about I think Cleveland is on there in those first games. Even though they are on the road, Jacksonville at home, even though they are on the road some of those games, man, they look a little gettable, man. Like if you're Kyle Shanahan, if Kyle Shanahan is who I think he is, the roster is what I think it is. Yes, you should be going into New Orleans and beating the Saints. Yes.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. So. And Sam Darnold. Who's afraid of Sam Darnold, for crying out loud? I'm not afraid of Sam Darnold. No. I know he lit the Niners up last year in Minnesota, but I put that on the 49ers offense for not converting touchdowns and not scoring inside the red zone. They had an issue there. So, look, Shanahan looks refreshed. Robert Saleh's barking. He's going to show that energy on defense. That's a key. Robert Saleh's back. And there's open competition, KC, in training camp for the safety spots, for that linebacker job opposite of Fred Warner. Yeah. And I love open competition. You're going to get the best of the best.
Yeah.
So, Tig Brown at strong safety, it ain't guaranteed that he's going to be starting because Pinnock and Richie Grant are here. You know what I'm saying? Man. Malik Mustafa's got an ACL. D Winners, Bethune, Martin, who's going to want that job opposite of Fred Warner? So it's open competition, and I think those Niners, people keep disrespecting them, KC. They keep disrespecting them.
I'm ready.
I'm loving it right
now. I'm ready. Look, I got 10 seconds, so I got to get out of here. But I got we got to get you back up to Doco. We got to get you back up to Doco, big dog. Come on through. You know you had a good time out here, Doco, big dog.
Hey, Doco tweeted me right there. Hey, Doco's lit, man. I had a great time at the Golden One, man.
Bonte, man, I appreciate you taking the time out, big dog. I know you had a busy day, man, so thank you, bro.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to the Chatty House, man. See y'all soon.
Yes, sir, man. Bonte Hill, NBC Sports Bay Area. That's my guy right there, man. And, man, it was a busy week. We got through it. We had a good time. D-Lo will be back here on Monday. No, he won't. We're going to do it again on Monday. D-Lo going to be at Disneyland on Monday. But we're going to have a good time on Monday. I got some special guests and surprises coming through. And, yeah, man, I hope everybody has a great weekend, safe weekend. And I will see you guys back here, 10 a.m., ESPN 1320. The Insiders kick it off. D-Lo and KC right after that. Shout out to my man Jesse. Shout out to my man Leezy. Y'all did a fantastic job. You already know the vibes. Vamos, gigantes. I'll see y'all on Monday.